Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, and I want to look at verses 7 through 12. Last week we were looking at the first six verses, and we saw how that the Lord gave command to his people to do that which we have no power or strength in ourselves to do. And we saw how that the Lord commands, and what he commands, he gives. He gives, and he performs that will and purpose of his for his people. He performs it in his people, by the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a work of grace, and by his Spirit he works his grace in our hearts effectually. Effectually. And he's gracious and merciful to his people to bring forth all the fruits and blessings of salvation in his Son. And you believe him, you believe the Savior, because of his grace, and because of his mercy toward you, by his power and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now in these verses, verses 7 through 12, we see here the triumph of Christ. And we see the triumphant Christ is the one whose feet stand upon the mountain, who's come from a far country to accomplish our salvation. And he comes and declares to us, it is finished. The works are done. Lay down your works. Put down your hands of works and don't be afraid anymore. Don't be fearful. Your God has accomplished your salvation. He's done all things necessary, made all things ready for you. And so we see our Savior who comes declaring the finished work and the accomplished salvation that he's done for his people, and he declares it in our hearts. He speaks to our hearts. He reveals his salvation to you. Not all who hear this word rejoice. Not all who hear the gospel receive the call. Not all hear that call. Not all are drawn by the Lord. But in mercy, the Lord draws you and makes you to hear his grace, makes you to know his peace. And so we see here a beautiful picture of the declaration by our Savior, and we see how he fits his people, giving them that message, making them to hear it by sending pastors and teachers and people who have understanding to declare the truth. He sends them that we should declare this gospel and make it known to you, his people, that you should hear it and be fed and nourished and comforted by the salvation of your God. We see the tenderness of our God here in this passage. I've titled this passage, Lift Up Your Voice. Lift up your voice. And so we see here in verse 7, our text, it opens with talking about someone's feet. There's a description of someone's feet. And because there's a focus on the feet, we understand the Lord's talking about a messenger. There's a messenger who's come. And his feet are described as beautiful because he comes with a good word. He comes with good news, glad tidings for you that have no hope of salvation. Oh, but there is. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who comes and declares these words to his people. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. And so that first and most excellent thing that you can understand when you read this verse is know this is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been many messengers, but the most glorious messenger, the one we look to, the one in whom we have confidence and trust in, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called in Malachi 3:1 the messenger of the covenant. Christ is called the messenger of the covenant because he's the one who was sent to fulfill the covenant of grace. He's the one that was sent of God to establish and fulfill the covenant of grace for God's people. And then, having established it, having performed all things, he publishes that word. He publishes that good news. He makes that word known to his people. And the way he established that was he wrote it and established it in his blood. He's the mediator of the covenant because he stands in the gap between holy God and his sinful people. His people who cannot save themselves. His people who cannot fulfill or keep the law of God. We have no righteousness of our own. We have no ability to save ourselves and to make ourselves acceptable with holy God. But Christ the mediator came willingly as the sacrifice, the fit sacrifice for his people, so that our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we declare and speak of, in him every promise of God is fulfilled to you, his people. In the Lord Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are yea and amen. We need look no further. We don't need to look beyond Christ. There's no salvation apart from him. There's no salvation beyond him. There's no knowledge or understanding that we need apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made him everything to us. He's committed all things and gathered all things together in Christ. That we would look to one and only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told by his own blood, Christ entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, past tense, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Meaning that we are the purchased possession of our Savior. And we stand complete in him. We stand complete in him. It's not yet to be worked out, and there's a wonder and a mystery whether or not it's going to be come to fruition. Christ has completed all the work of salvation for you whom he loves, for you whom he's called, for you whom he sent the Spirit and revealed faith in. To trust in him, to look to him, and to believe him and love him. And so, like a messenger on a great journey, we see him coming up over a mountain range. And think about that. The indication is that he's come from a far country. Christ has come to us from a far country, a country that we could never get ourselves to. We can never cross that span. We can never bridge that gap. There's nothing we could do to fill in the blanks. Christ had to come to us. And we know that he laid aside his glory, taking upon him the humiliation of flesh, the lowliness of flesh, to be made like his brethren, that he should be the fit sacrifice, able to lay down his life for them. After that, he fulfilled all righteousness for us in keeping the law perfectly, and in whom we keep the law perfectly, in him. We're told that as our sacrifice, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And so our Savior, who came, he conquered every foe. He defeated all our foes, all those that were too strong for us. He defeated sin and death. He defeated the grave and Satan. He defeated the world, and he defeated this wicked flesh of ours. He overcame the wicked heart that is within us. And so our Lord conquered every foe. When he was speaking to Pilate, Pilate thought that he was something. Pilate thought that he had power to let Christ go. That man had no power, no ability to do anything, because Christ came willingly, and God the Father delivered him by his determinate counsel and will to obtain your salvation through the death of his Son. And he told Pilate in John 18, verse 37, to this end was I born, And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Heareth my voice. And so this is the one who stands upon the mountains, who's come from a far country, overcoming all our enemies and all our foes, and doing that which we could never do, to declare, to publish, to make known his voice, to make known the truth to your hearts, that salvation is not in the things that we do. It's not in the things that we don't do. Salvation is in the Lord. And salvation is of the Lord. And that's what he reveals to you and makes known to you, that he is salvation. And he makes us to know our need of that salvation and to cry out to him and call upon him, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Lord, save me. And he does this and makes his voice known to us, publishing peace, that in him we now have peace with God. It's not yet waiting for us to have peace. We that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, we in whom he's revealed this faith, have peace right now with God. You are right now fit and complete to stand in the courts of your God, to stand before him faultless, having no shame, no guilt, no nakedness. You're covered in the righteous garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior came, and as it says at the very end of verse 7, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. You see, in Adam, when Adam sinned against God, when he rebelled against God and trespassed against that law of God, Adam fell in sin. Adam lost everything. And we in Adam, all his seed in him, became corrupt as he is corrupt. We died in sin. And he died in sin. Sin and death entered into the world. I'll show you that, just in case there's someone that doesn't believe it. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, he's talking about, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's Romans 5:12. And so Adam lost everything. We lost everything. We lost fellowship with God. We have no spiritual life. We have no flicker of light. Nothing in us that is savable. There's nothing in us that's good or that would cause God to be merciful to us. There's nothing of us that God should be merciful and kind and gracious to us. Adam lost it all. But Christ comes and says, thy God reigneth. Meaning, though Adam fell, God isn't removed from the throne. God's will and purpose to do you good for his people that he chose from before the foundation of the world, that's not lost. God's not changed his mind. God isn't unable now to save you. He's able and he's willing because it's his will and purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ before we ever fell. Before we were ever created, before this world was ever created, the purpose and will of God for his people is to redeem them by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he sent his son, and his son accomplished that work, and he's publishing it and making it known to his people, the works are finished. Finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's doing. He's continually bringing forth good tidings, right? It says bringeth. Means it continues from that day and it continues all the way on to this day. He bringeth good tidings. He publisheth peace. He publisheth salvation and saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That ETH means it's continual. It hasn't ceased. He continues to publish it to this day in the ears and the hearts of his people. So we bless God for that. Now, we see that Christ is the messenger, and his feet are beautiful, right? He comes bearing a wonderful message, an important message, a message we need to hear. He comes bearing that message and declares this glorious word of salvation to us. So how do we hear that glorious word? How do we hear this word of salvation of our Lord? Well, the Lord tells us that we hear them by watchmen. By watchmen. That would be pastors and preachers and teachers and any child of God with a voice who's willing to make known to the people what Christ has done for his people, what he has accomplished. Anyone willing to declare this news, that's how the people are going to hear this word. The Lord is able. He is able to send that word out in such a way that he has all power and control over it. You know, even in Acts 7 is where Stephen was stoned. And following Stephen's stoning, there was persecution that came out to that went out to the church, persecution of the people who confessed Christ. And it was under the hand of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And we're told that in that persecution, we're told in Acts 8:4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They went preaching the word. So the Lord sent that word out that the people should hear, because at first it was contained there in Jerusalem and had to go out to the surrounding regions. And then from all of Judah went to Samaria. Actually, Philip, it says next, went to Samaria and preached the gospel. And then it went out to the ends of the earth. And so our Lord is able to get that voice raised loudly, lifted up so that all could hear the voice. The voice. The voice of Jesus Christ. The word of God. The word of our salvation. The word of our hope. Jesus Christ. The voice that we must hear. Look at verse 8 concerning these watchmen. Isaiah 52:8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. So each voice of every preacher is going to sing that melody of grace. We're going to sing with the voice of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to declare that same good word. We're going to publish those good tidings. We're going to publish peace through his name. We're going to lift up the voice. And the picture there is that we are exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the banner that we're raising up. He's the ensign, the one to whom he draws all his people to himself. We exalt him. We lift up the voice. We raise our voices and we declare him. You know, even each one we see in their appointed hour, they're going to come forth singing this song of redemption. We're going to come forth declaring what Christ has come and declared in his person and his work. We're told Peter, standing up with the 11, this is when in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was given, as our Lord promised, when the Spirit was given and the Spirit rested on each one as a flaming tongue of fire. And they went out declaring in every man's tongue, like words in languages they themselves didn't know, but the people that were gathered there, some from Egypt, some, it says, from Arabia, some, it says, even strangers from Rome and other Greeks from Crete and other areas around there, Phrygia and Asia and everywhere around, they preached the glory of God to those people. And they wondered at it. And Peter stood up with the 11, and it says that he lifted up his voice and said unto the people, Acts 2:14, what did he say? He exalted the voice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the messengers of Christ do. We take our voice and we exalt the voice. We lift up the voice of the Son of God. We declare what he's accomplished for his people. He's the voice you must hear. He's the voice we want to hear. And he's the voice that comes powerfully to the hearts of his people, releasing them, giving them life, and setting them free from sin and death. And so we see here how constantly we see how the apostles even published peace to the people. Peter went on to say, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so you see there, when he was lifting up his voice, he exalted and glorified the Lord Jesus Christ before the people. Because that's the message that the Lord blesses. That's the message that he uses to comfort and nourish and feed his people. That's the message that he uses to free his people and to deliver them from their captivity. All right, now turn over to Romans 10. Romans 10, and let's pick up in verse 13. We see here that the Lord makes his people to know that Christ is our salvation. Right? He turns us away from the things that we look to in the flesh. We look to religion and doing religious things and doing what we're told in religion. We look to the law. We look to religious things and to religion to save us. But the Lord turns his people to look to Christ. He turns us away from the flesh to look to Christ, so that we call upon him, that we look to him for salvation. And we're told in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right? That's not just a careless call. Well, yeah, I believe on Jesus. No, he makes us to know that we're sinners in need of that salvation which he has provided in himself. And that's who we call upon, the one who saved, the one who accomplished salvation, the one who reveals salvation to his people. And then, because we must know this one, we see here in Romans 10 and verse 14, he sends his messengers to make him known. Because our Lord says, "My people shall know my name." We're going to know his name. And he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And so Christ, who is Lord of all, will see to it and ensure that a messenger, you hear a messenger preaching Christ, that you hear a messenger who preaches the gospel and brings this gospel to you and continues to bring this gospel to you, publisheth continually peace, publishing his peace and his good tidings to you, his people. And sometimes going to great lengths, right? We see and hear of missionaries who will sail off from their homeland and go out to jungles and over mountains and overseas and over the air and walking through dangerous places just in order to bring that message to the people. Because that's how important it is and how beautiful it is to the people who need it, who are hungering and starving and thirsting for that righteousness which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come lifting up the voice of salvation, Jesus Christ. Verse 15, Romans 10, 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things." And so there is a people whom the Lord loves. And you know this by your experience, the love and grace and mercy of your God toward you to separate you out to hear this gospel and to reveal faith in your hearts, to believe not in religion, to believe not in morality, to believe not in the law, but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for everything. And we see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13 and 14. Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So that the choosing of God led to him separating you out by the Spirit, sanctifying you for the purpose, for his own purpose, to hear this word, and he revealed faith in you so that you believed that word of truth that you heard, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how did you obtain it? You heard the voice. You heard the voice of the Son of God in the preaching of the word. You know, he says in John 5, verse 25, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead, that's all of us, dead in trespasses and sins, dead in Adam, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he wasn't talking about the resurrection, which is to come. He was talking about the first resurrection, our resurrection from spiritual death and giving us spiritual life and making us born again by his Spirit, by his seed, to know and love and believe our Savior, to believe our God. All right, now this next verse, go back to Isaiah 52, verse 9. This next verse describes that salvation come to the sinner saved. He says, break forth into joy. All right, this is, our salvation is made effectual in our hearts by the Spirit. All your enemies have been destroyed. And the Lord says, break forth. That is, he's shattered the shackles that are keeping us captive. The prison door is swung open. There's no one standing in your way. There's nothing to prevent you or to slow you down. The Lord says, come forth. Come out. Come into the light. And he reveals himself to us in the light. And he says, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. You family of God, sing together the song of redemption, boasting and rejoicing in what Christ has done for you. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. That's what he's talking about. The new Jerusalem. The church of God. It's his bride that he's cleansed in his blood and washed in the water of his word. The voice of your husband has cleansed you of all sin. He's delivered you from that death. He's delivered you from your captivity. He's removed all that burden of guilt and shame and fear and laboring under that, which benefited you not one bit. He's delivered you from that and brought you into the family of God, being adopted of him and hugged of him and clothed of him, making you fit to stand in the court of your king, accepted of him. Verse 10 now. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And so the holy arm is Jesus Christ. And when he says, when he speaks of bearing his arm, it's as though he's rolling up his sleeves. And he's coming to do that difficult work of salvation, which was impossible for us. And he did the difficult labor in accomplishing that salvation for his people, in dying in our place, bearing our punishment, being laid in the grave, and rising again. He rolled up his sleeves and did that work for us, for you, his people, to comfort you, and to bless your hearts. All right, now, so we see the wondrous accomplishment of his salvation to us. And now we come to these last two closing verses. And what our Lord is doing here is he's giving instruction to his church. He's giving instruction to his messengers, those who go forth lifting up the voice. And those who are publishing the word, his word, declaring Christ is the light of the world. Just as he said, look to him. Look to him. Believe him. And so he tells us how we are to depart out from this death. And that being departed from it, right? He calls us out of dead religion. He turns us away. He gives us repentance from dead things, dead works, to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us how we are to continue in the truth, how we are to continue in that pure word of God. And that's good, because historically we've seen how those who claim to be the church have fallen into captivity and been ensnared again in dead works religion. We saw it repeatedly in the history of Israel, time and time and time again, they went back into captivity. They went back to dead works. So that even when Christ came, we see Pharisee, the height of man's glory, the height of man's works, the height of what he can do in the law. And it was all vain and worthless, the doctrine and the commandments of men that could not save. Right? And even in the history since Christ, we saw how that which is called the church, in the Catholic Church, how it just became this big puffery of show and vanity and nonsense that is not truth and buries the truth and silences the voice of Christ and leads people into bondage and dead religion. And it continues in to varying degrees in religion to this day. And so the Lord tells us how we are to carry forth the continual publishing of this good news. Because this is what the people need to hear. And this is the voice that Christ is going to make known in the hearts of his people. He says in verse 11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And so he says, touch no unclean thing. Get out of the dead religion. When you hear the gospel, the Lord lifts you up and takes you out from the dead religion. We don't stay in it and try to convert them and try to help them see the light. It's dead religion. Get out of it. Don't touch the unclean thing. And don't bring with you all that wickedness, all that uncleanness, all that vanity. Leave behind the candles, leave behind the robes and the funny hats, leave behind the incense swinging down the aisle, leave behind the candles, the stations, the pictures, the statues, the ceilings on the Sistine Chapel. Leave that stuff behind you. Leave all the titles, all the puffery, all the vanity of man, let it go. Right? They do that because there is no spirit. There's no life there. And they think, well, if we create an environment of awe and inspiration, then they that are of the flesh will look to God and be inspired to do good things. Nonsense. This flesh is dead. We may be inspired, but it's inspired in death. It's deadly. So come out of all that dead, filthy religion. Right, he says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And so we go out of the midst of her. We leave spiritual Babylon. We depart from all this world's religion and trusting in it and fellowshipping with it and commending it or patting it on the back or giving it any comfort. The Lord delivered us from it. That's not the voice of Christ being heard there. It's all dead religion. And then he says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And so first to the messengers, he says, be ye clean. You that are going to sing the song of redemption, the song of your Lord, and praise his name, you be clean. You be clean. You see, even the messengers and ministers are cleansed by the blood of Christ too. We need the blood of Christ. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing different about us. We're dead, filthy sinners too, in need of his grace. And so we must be clean. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith as you that believe. We have the same spirit of faith. We're saved by his grace. According as it's written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. It's the same thing. We're cleaned by the blood of Christ too. And being delivered by him, we lift up the voice. We raise our voices and use our voices to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can hear his voice. And then he speaks of us bearing the vessels of the Lord. Now, historically, this passage is talking about Judah's captivity, when they were set free from the captivity to Babylon, the Babylonian Empire there. And it's a picture of believers being delivered from the bondage of spiritual Babylon, a false religion. And we know historically that Cyrus, that monarch that let them go from the kingdom of Persia and Media, that when they were going, he returned to them those vessels, those precious things that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, out of Jerusalem when he conquered it. All right, and so then Cyrus says, hey, give them back their things. Let them take those vessels again back with them. Now, there's two beautiful pictures that are contained here in this bearing the vessels of the Lord. One speaks of Christ. One picture is of Christ and the other of the Lord's people. And so we all leave the fleshly trappings of religion behind. Right? We don't look to those things. And even the things that the Pharisees were practicing, we don't look to that. And we don't look to the law. And we don't look to sacrifices and trying to just do religious things that we read about in here. But we having the Old Testament and the New Testament, we bear the precious things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Showing from these scriptures how that Christ is the fulfillment. This Jesus of Nazareth has fulfilled all the promises of God, all the prophecies of God, everything that had to be fulfilled, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, accomplished it all. This is the Christ. He is salvation. Believe him. Trust him. There is no other salvation. Believe the one whom the Lord has sent. We bear those things of Christ, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto the people in all the scriptures the things concerning Christ, just as he did when he was raised from the dead and came to his people. And he taught them before he ascended to the Father. And he made us witnesses of these things. The Lord Jesus Christ had to come in the flesh. We needed a substitute. We need a Savior. And Christ fulfilled all our righteousness. And he went to that cross faithfully and laid down his life, dying in the place of all his people, putting away their sins, obtaining eternal redemption, obtaining forgiveness for his people. And so we're made witnesses of his death, his burial, and his resurrection according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. And then we're told in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we have this treasure, this blessed good tidings for you. We have this treasure, this understanding of salvation by him. That's a precious thing. Not many have that knowledge and that comfort. We have that precious understanding in earthen vessels, these bodies of dust, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Not by our persuasion. It's not by our abilities. It's by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, attending that word and making it effectual in your hearts. And so this pure preaching of Christ, it's the command of our God. And he says, don't depart from it. You take those vessels with you. You go preaching this word. You go lifting up this voice. This is how you'll be kept from every false way. This is how you'll be kept from going to the left or the right. And you'll stay in the way, the truth, and the life. You'll stay in Christ, looking to him, preaching him, exalting him. And so that brings us to that second picture of bearing the vessels of the Lord. So that being faithful to our King, singing his melody, this is how we bear the vessels of the Lord, you his people. This is how you are carried. This is how you are comforted. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and go to verse 21. This will see that we are the vessels spoken of. Romans 9:21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. And that's you that believe, the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And so he calls you out, makes you his precious vessels of mercy by the lifting up of the voice. And he causes you to hear the voice, Jesus Christ. And he promises us in verse 12, back in Isaiah 52, verse 12. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. In other words, that's where we stay. That's where we continue. Don't be fearful. Don't change the message. Don't turn from the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll be the one that gathers up the weak things and the poor things and the lowly things. And he'll ensure, he says, don't you worry about ministering to them. You preach to them, even the weak and lowly and the things despised and the things cast off. You minister this word to them because I'll protect them. I'll protect the whole caravan of you. You don't need to leave them behind. You just preach the word to all, and the Lord will gather them in and protect them and bear fruit in his people through this word. And so he's the voice, and he's the one that we continue to preach, brethren. And so I pray that the Lord continue to delight your hearts in the hearing of the voice of Christ, that you rejoice in him and thank him for that.